Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
This is Fight Night Extra on TalkSport 2.
If you love your boxing, this is the show for you. Fight Night Extra with me, Gareth Davis, and the one and only former world champion, Barry Jones. Today, we'll unpack Saturday night's action in Sheffield as Sandy Ryan stopped Terry Harper to retain her WBO welterweight crown. We'll talk about a win for Dalton Smith and where he now sits in world title contention. Huge domestic fight on TalkSport this weekend as heavyweight rivals Fabio Wardley and Fraser Clark meet at the O2 Arena. We'll take a look at the card in general and hear from the two big men at the top of the bill. Now, Eddie Hearn and Frank Warren have named the five weight classes for their Matchroom versus Queensbury or Queensbury versus Matchroom card on June the 1st, but they have yet to announce who the fighters will be. Myself and Barry will attempt to fill in the blanks. Oh yeah, it's going to be Dreamscape. And we'll also attempt to decode a recent social media post from Anthony Joshua, who has hinted his next fight is edging closer to being announced. Oh yes, so much to get through. This is Fight Night Extra on TalkSport 2.
Career. We're at different stages of our career, but obviously the winner kicks on. I think after this fight for myself specifically, I'm done with British level fights. I think I'm going to look internationally.
It's a bit like winner stays on, do you know what I mean? The winner progresses, loser has to have a long, hard look in the mirror and decide what's next.
I'm delighted to be joined by His Excellency Frank and Eddie. And when these three men are in a room together, the boxing world stands up and takes notice. And today is no different because we're here for a game-changing announcement.
We will announce about big card with five fights to choose. Frank will choose two fights and Eddie will choose two fights as a secret. And me, I will choose one fight.
Barry Jones, how are you? We were last together in the Middle East. Saudi, Abu Dhabi, Dubai. My word, it's a great time in boxing. I just want to say, about a year ago, maybe boxing was down in the doldrums a little bit, but it's flying at the moment.
Yeah, it really is, mate. You know, the landscape has changed very quickly, and you know, with the influx of Saudi Arabia and the urgency to not mess around, let's be honest, and offer the financial incentives it needs, boxing will need to quicken the pace. Fights are being made. Not just being made, but being made at a frantic pace. No, we're hearing about fights being mooted, and all of a sudden, then 2 months later, the fight's happening. So it's a great time for the sport, and it's helping outside of Saudi Arabia as well. Because in the UK, as we saw on the weekend, there's some real competitive matches.
Absolutely, it's a catalyst for a lot of stimulation for those mid-range fights, for the all-British fights, and obviously we're going to get one this weekend. As we saw last weekend as well, in that card in Sheffield, Sandy Ryan stopping Terry Harper. I'd pick Terry Harper, you know, to maybe get through five rounds and then maybe try to outbox Sandy Ryan. But she was too powerful for her, wasn't she? Couldn't come out for the fourth round.
Yeah, I've been gloating a while because I did pick Sandy Ryan by stoppage. And I get people thought 10 two-minute rounds, you know, and not being a big puncher. That's a bit of a call. But it wasn't so much how powerful she is. It's I've just seen in Terry Harper, and take away the Alicia and Bob guy in the defeat when she got stopped. As good as she is, she's the better boxer, I thought, Terry Harper. I thought she could potentially box Sandy Ryan. I just thought if Sandy Ryan can hurt her early, Terry Harper shows when she feels really uncomfortable under pressure, but she shows it too much. And I just thought if she does that with Sandy Ryan, she won't let off the hook. And that's what happened. But also, Sandy Ryan was fantastically accurate. I think that last little barrage, before the end of the round, and then obviously the Steffi Bull pulled his fighter out, sat on the stool. But all those shots hit the target clean and often. And Harper wasn't seriously hurt, but the panic was clear in her face. And it's so much the empathy, knowing your fighter, and Steffi Bull was in the corner with her, and he knew her, and there wasn't much argument from Terry Harper, and he knew straight away it was the right thing to call it. And yeah, Sandy Ryan, she was unlucky, I thought, against Jessica McCaskill, massively unlucky in a previous fight to get a draw. Should have been a winning defense of her title, but here she is now with the best win of her career and a future look very bright.
And talking about the pot bubbling, obviously Jessica McCaskill is now going to fight Lauren Price for a world title, and the prospect of, I mean, I think Lauren Price wins that. I think she's a very special girl with a very special story. Very, very tough. I think she's got to develop her power a little bit more, which is something that I've not been critical of, but I'd like to see more of. But I think the prospect of Sandy Ryan and Lauren Price, again, that home pot bubbling, it's a great fight.
And let's not forget Natasha Jonas, of course, who's the queen of UK boxing. So she's still here. She's still active. She's come off a good win against Michaela Meyer, though controversial, a lot will say. But still, she still has a title at that weight. So it's still, there's lots of matches to be made. And I agree with you. I think that Lauren Price will beat Jessica McCaskill. I don't think power will be the problem here. The mobility that she has will be a friend in this fight. I think McCaskill have shown she can be outboxed. Chantelle Cameron showed that with a solid jab, which you need, and discipline in your work, which I think Lauren Price has. I expect her not just to win, but to win really well in Cardiff.
Yeah, I agree with you. And in Cardiff, of course. Yeah, brilliant for to go back to Wales. It'll be hugely supported. As you know, as we both know, the Welsh fans in any sport always support their own, and I expect a packed arena. It'll be a great night. Dalton Smith stopped Jose Zepeda to go 16-0. I always describe Dalton Smith, and he's got his man strength now, and that's what we saw on Saturday night, as a man who fights with two axes. If he was a gladiator in Rome, he'd have fought with two axes or two swords. He stands in front of you, he swarms you, he draws you into fights. I think he really showed that he's potentially world level, because Jose Zepeda, as we know, 11 rounds with Regis Progre, two other world title fights, obviously the loss to Terry Flanagan all those years ago at lightweight, but with a shoulder injury. But yes, 34, yes, into his 40s in the fights he's had. But Dalton Smith did a lot and more than I expected him to do in that contest. For me, Barry, you know levels. For me, he's signaled that he's going to climb the rung and maybe not get to elite level, we don't know yet, but certainly world level.
Well, I think he's arrived, I think, on that win. This was a really dangerous fight for him. You can say, we can look back and Jose Zepeda on paper, the caliber of what he brings to the table without knowing who he is, Zepeda, a guy who's boxed at world level, not the fight that he maybe once was, but not showing a massive decline, I would say, but has boxed for world titles, but haven't been able to get over the line. That's sort of the perfect fight for Dalton Smith. But in his weight division, which is so talented and so difficult, that the person who ticks that boxes, who fills that status for that opportunity, is Jose Zepeda, who's too good a fighter for that, I think. I think he's still a dangerous fighter. Richardson Hitchens, he looked a little bit flat against Hitchens, who's a really clever boxer. He'll be boxing for, who's already proven he's going to be world level, boxing for an eliminator for the world title in his next fight. I think people thought, he's passed his sell by Zepeda, but so dangerous with that long 1-2 from the southpaw stance. And I thought this was a real gutsy fight because Dalton Smith bypassed the European level. Because the Adam Azim scenario where, that fight's a big fight, it's too hard to make so quickly. So Adam's team got to the European level, that European top before him. So we had to bypass that to go to another direction. Jose Zepeda was the fight that we found out what he was all about. And he had a look at him in the first couple of rounds. Zepeda looked a little bit dangerous, but Dalton Smith was just taking his time, wasn't flustered. And then once he went to work in that third round, he was fantastic. And the shot, right in the, in commentary, I said right in the breadbasket. I think that was really good because I just thought it was perfect. A shot like that doesn't hurt you half the time. That shot like that only hurts you when you don't see it. You don't expect it. He was so far out. It was the feet that were impressive, not the punch. The way he closed that distance really quickly. He saw the elbows lift a little bit high. He saw the gap. It's not much from the belt line to the elbows. And he jumped in really quick. Great shot. It really was. And you've seen Zepeda. It was tough as they come. He's been on the floor millions of times, gets up all the time, and usually wins up when he gets up off the floor. Just couldn't. There was a little pause, but he tried to catch his breath, and he was done. And I just thought that was a standout win. And he's arrived now. The problem he has is that the world champions are so good at his weight class, where it's almost like, have you arrived too soon now? I'm not quite sure. But either way, there's options for him. Devin Haney maybe relinquishes his title if he boxes after the Garcia fight, if of course that actually happens. Then there's talk of other people where he might be able to fight for
Regis Prograis, for example.
And I'm talking about Sandor Martin, possibly, who's a very good fighter. But that's a winnable fight there for Dalton Smith at world level. Then he wins a world title, surrounded by amazing talent, and talent in a weight below, which of course Stevenson, who pretty much is the future of boxing, I feel, moving up to that weight. Okay, they're hard fights for him, but they're financially rewarding. It's where you want to be as a fighter with the elite. And he has elite around him. And he's not, I wouldn't say he beat any of those right now, but he proved he's on the right track. And he's proved to me that he is genuinely world level now.
Yeah, I think Regis Prograis is a great test for him. I think it's another step up. And the key, David, Devin Haney. I mean, the great thing is, if he proves that he's world level in the next couple of fights, the draw to bring those big names to the UK. Devin Haney would love to fight in the UK. Ryan Garcia would love to fight in the UK. I mean, that's the thing for Dalton. Yes, I agree with you. We don't know. We tend to talk down our guys. Are they really from the hood, or are they really from that hard proving ground that a lot of the Americans are, that we don't have those societies anymore, or maybe even those styles? But he's got something deep within him, in my view. And he's also got the Sergeant Major, his dad, Grant Smith, who won't have a dumbbell out of place in the gym. The Edwards brothers speak about how great he is. Chantel Cameron, Nicola Bark, all these guys say it's brilliant to be in that Steel City gym as well.
I think for Grant Smith, what you've got with him is a real boxing brain. He might be disciplined and a sergeant major in the gym, I don't know. But what he is tactically very, 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 very clever. And his corner work is good because he's never panicky, never gives him too much information. And what he says in the corner is what he tells him in the gym. You can tell that. They understand what he's saying to them. I got to say about Dalton Smith. We're talking about Regis Prograis would be a lovely next fight for him.
Well, a tough fight, I mean.
But I was just going to say, how hard is his division? Now, we all of a sudden, we talk about Regis Prograis. It's madness, isn't it? That's how difficult that weight division is. But he's a real talent, and that was a great win for him. I think we have a little star here, and I think, if we get it right and don't rush him, I think he will do very well in the coming years.
He moved up the ranks quickly. I agree with you. He's moved up the ranks quickly, but a loss in his 15th fight, I think 15th fight for Campbell Hatton against James Flint. Unanimous decision. Tough fight. I thought he did lose the fight, but he's got character, Campbell. He's not the same as the old man, and he's going to have to work at it, but he's going to have to work really hard to come back from that.
Yeah, I thought about that. I thought, it's not so much that he can't continue his career. Of course he can, and he's not a bad fighter. Area level is a good level to box at. I think people get a category, everyone's got to be world class or at least European level or British level. It's not everyone's that. Just because his dad was a fantastic world class fighter doesn't mean you will be that. But there's pressure because you carry the name Hatton with you, of course. I understand that. But he might have found his level. Tony Bellew said he's found his level. He might be right. And that's not a problem. And he might go back and win the rematch against Flint, though he would go massive underdog, and I don't think he beats Flint. I think Flint was, unless this mentioned James Flint, it was a bigger fight for him. Campbell's used to this occasion, used to the TV cameras. He's always had the pressure on his back, so that's the pressure there. But for James Flint, who was the more experienced, but not more experienced with the pressure situation that he was under on Saturday night, and he was fantastic. Every time Hatton threw a shot, he threw two. When he hit Hatton with a good shot and Hatton fired back and he was tremendous with that, Flint matched him every time. Didn't care who was around, who his father was. He fought with an intensity and got the right win.
Absolutely. Spot on as always, Barry. You're listening to Fight Night Extra on TalkSport 2. Still to come, we'll hear from Frank Warren and Eddie Hearn, who have named their five weight classes ahead of Matchroom versus Queensbury on June the 1st in Saudi Arabia, of course, on the undercard of Artur Beterbiev and Dmitry Bivol for the undisputed light heavyweight title. We'll also try and decide who Anthony Joshua was talking about when he posted on social media that a fight announcement is imminent. Could be anyone. Next, though, we'll talk about this weekend's fight between Fraser Clark and Fabio Wardley. British heavyweights at their best.
March 31st, the British Heavyweight Championship is on the line. Fraser Clark and the defending champion, Fabio Wardley.
Good shot from him. Wardley unloading the deep punches, John Rakin stops it.
Look, I'm beating high-level amateurs over and over again. Like, I don't know what more you want from me to prove that I'm a serious contender in this game.
He's one of this new era of heavyweight, walks around with a fancy camera crew, make his little reels for him.
So one-sided, the towel's in. First round stoppage victory for Seal One for Big Fraze.
We have a grudge, we have a rivalry, and we have a history.
No one pushed me into this corner.
Don't get upset. Relax.
I'm not upset. Chill, I'm just saying, don't question me and try and say I'm alive when I'm not.
I'm questioning you. What?
We good?
You're listening to Fight Night Extra on TalkSport 2 with me, Gareth Davis, and the one and only former world champion, Barry Jones. This Sunday on TalkSport, we bring you live and exclusive commentary of the British heavyweight title fight between Fabio Wardley and Fraser Clark from London's O2 Arena. Our team on the night includes Adam Smith, former super bantamweight champion Spencer Oliver, and commentator John Rawling. I'll be there as well. The action on the night starts at 6 p.m. on TalkSport 2, before switching over to TalkSport for the main event at 8:30. Okay, let's listen to Fabio Wardley first. He wants to step up from British level fights after beating Fraser Clark.
We're at different stages of our career, but obviously the winner kicks on. I think after this fight for myself specifically, I'm done with British level fights. I think I'm going to look internationally. I'm ranked well with three or so of the governing bodies. So I'll probably pick a lane and start moving towards a world title.
Is he ready for that, Barry?
Who knows? Is he ready to fight for the British title? You know, it's, the man just keeps proving people wrong, doesn't he? Constantly, continuously. You know, this is a man who had no experience at all. No, really. I don't even call white-collar boxing as real boxing.
You never had a little white-collar bash or not?
I actually have, you know.
There you go. Come on, then. Come on, reveal all. Reveal
for a charity match, yeah, with a friend of mine, Tony Healy, yeah. But
did you hurt him?
I didn't hurt him. I don't hurt anyone, do I? It's not what I do.
But did
I
did you tease him?
I made it look very competitive. There you go. for the crowd. But it was but I just it's hard to see, but he just keeps. This is a man because there's no weight of expectation on his shoulders ever up until now. So things might change. He's been able to box freely, and you see it in his performances. He goes out there, and he's one of the most reactive fighters we have today. And by reactive fighters, I mean in the ilk of Nigel Benn, is that they fire, but when they're under pressure, their first thought is not to do the right thing and to protect yourself, check yourself, make sure you're okay. Their first thought is to react. With ferocity, with power, with punches.
Instinctive, isn't it?
It is instinctive. You can't teach that. You can't teach. You know, the most natural thing to do is self-preservation, always under pressure. And some fighters don't have that. And that's what makes them either stupid or brilliant.
Or too brave for their own good.
In Nigel Benn's case, it was brilliant because he got himself out of trouble. He won so many fights when he was in trouble, of course, and before he won the world title. And so I think Wardy has that. We've seen against Nathan Gorman. He got hurt, he fired back, and then gets rid of him. You know, I think he's just been going up the levels fantastically well. So
same with David Adelaide in Saudi Arabia as well, on Battle of the Baddest, I thought.
He was great. I think he wasn't in any danger with Adelaide because I think Adelaide just, I think he froze a little bit. I think he'll admit that. But, I mean, Wardley just doesn't put any pressure on himself. But now he must have a bit of pressure because even though he's boxing against an Olympian who should be the massive favourite here, Wardley's boxed at a higher level as a professional. He has the more experience as a professional, I feel. No, I don't think Fraser Clark's career as a professional has been terrible. It's been really good, I thought. You know, I think he's boxed good, decent little tests to make him a better fighter, but it's been the inactivity. He hasn't had no real momentum in his career. And also, for how good he was as an amateur, it should have been a steeper learning curve as well. So we don't quite know how good Fraser Clark is as a pro. We know the good and the bad of Fabio Wardley. We know that he can get himself into trouble, but we know that he can get himself out of trouble, and you can't ever let him off the hook if you have him hurt. So we haven't seen that dog yet at Fraser Clark, and he's going to need that on Saturday night.
If we are describing, and I agree with you, that Fabio Wardley is dangerous when he's a wounded tiger, maybe Fraser Clark is the boxer who's yet to show, obviously, the Olympic bronze medal, who's yet to show that he has great power as a giant heavyweight again, 6'6", 17, 18 stone. He spoke to TalkSport and says everything is on the line against Fabio Wardley.
It's a bit like winner stays on, do you know what I mean? The winner progresses, the loser has to have a long, hard look in the mirror and decide what's next. But for me, you know, I want to win the title first and foremost, and then we'll decide after that where we go. You know, ultimate goal will be a world title. You've got to navigate your way towards that and just keep working hard towards it.
Huge test for Fraser Clark. He's putting it all on the line. Like you say, the ascendancy, the momentum is all with Fabio. So for Fraser Clark, it's a question of silence the naysayers, prove that he does have the pedigree. And even though I favour Fabio Wardley based on what he's done to win this fight, maybe even by stoppage, maybe the best plan for Fraser Clark is to actually box in this fight and not get engaged in tussles and trench warfare and toe-to-toe fighting.
Yeah, I think I think on theoretically that's spot on. But Fabio won't allow that. Just the way he fights, he will drag you in. I think you have to box, but you have to show strength in your work. So I think those 10 rounds that he did with Mario Vrak for Fabio Wardley, though it wasn't a great fight to watch, but I haven't gone through those 10 rounds of frustration. And I think that'll help him in this fight. I think that's a really important test for him, that was. But he's in against a fresher guy who's going to throw lots of punches, he's going to wing punches in. So the need to box it has a direct route. So you think it'd be better for him? We just haven't seen it yet from him, but he needs that. All the pressure's on him. If he loses to Fabio Wardley, his contract with Sky will be up for review, I would imagine. All those things, all the pressure, the money he's probably getting now more than others would at this stage of their careers, all that is in jeopardy. He has to prove his worth now. This is time for maybe his promoter and his TV company, in Sky Sports, to cash in if he doesn't produce the goods. And so he needs to produce goods. He's good enough. He's shown it in the past how good he can be, but he's up against a guy here who's athletic, powerful, and brave. And that's going to be, we haven't seen, I'm not saying he can't do it, we just haven't seen it yet from.
Oh, absolutely.
But we'll find out on Saturday. And that's what makes this fight such a great and intriguing fight there. That's going to come
out. Barry, you mentioned 10 rounds for Fabio Ward against Marius Wack. Obviously, you meant Fraser Clark there. We were there for TalkSport on the night. Yeah, but I agree. On the night, even on commentary, we'll say, where is his power? But like you say, he got the rounds in the bag. And the other thing about Marius Wack is, got a head like a giant brick. Yeah. He's been in with everyone. He was 40 years old when he fought Fraser, I think. And he knows his way around. And Fraser's one of those people. And he smothered his work a bit that night as well, because he was so dominant, if you recall. And Wack's a sly, clever survivor in the ring, if you like. Fraser Clark could have something very, very special in him. I think it's going to be a classic in lots of ways. There's another great fight on the card as well that I just want to mention. Vidal Riley against Mikel Awal, an interesting fight. But a lot of people are interested in Chris Congo and what Ben Davison and Lee Wiley might have done, the strategist Wiley, might have done with Chris Congo as he fights the terror that is Florian Marku, the Albanian. Obviously, Congo's fought a better pedigree of opponents in his career so far. But it's a really interesting fight because, again, Marku's going to bring it. He always brings it. He's looking to get you out of shape. He'll do it early. He's not going to sit back and box you. He's tenacious. He's aggressive. He's full of confidence. He's also come from kickboxing and mixed martial arts. He's a real tough guy. Really like him. Congo, cool as you like. Is he going to box him from range? 7-inch reach advantage, I think. It's something like that. It's an interesting fight, isn't it?
It is. I think he will box him. He has to box him. And you tend to think that he should be able to box him quite comfortably at times. But Marco keeps proving me wrong. Not that I think he's going to get beat all the time, but he must be a bit bigger puncher than he looks. I don't think he's a massive puncher. I think he's heavy-handed, if that makes any sense. So every shot doesn't knock you up. Every shot you feel it, because he slows fighters down. But he makes so many mistakes, you know, because he's so committed. But he must have power because he gets away with it. But I think with Congo, who's boxed at a good level, is a good boxer. If he can show a bit more strength in his work, I do expect him to get the nod. But then Mark, who's been proving me wrong from day one, so, you know, like...
He's one of those, isn't he? He is.
And Gallifrey might just be one of those that keeps continuing to do that, you know.
I always fancied him against Conor Benn as a great fight. You're listening to Fight Night Extra on TalkSport 2. Next up, we'll hear from Eddie Hearn and Frank Warren as the pair of promoters named the five weight classes for the 5 vs. 5 event. Myself and Barry will attempt to fill in the blanks.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact... You can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
You're listening to Fight Night Extra on TalkSport 2 with me, Gareth Davison, the one and only former world champion, one of my faves. He is the nuts and bolts man, and he's also the big picture man. It's Barry Jones. So, Barry, I'm telling you, I am stoked by this idea. For me, the uniqueness, the legacy feel, promoters working with each other but against each other, it has everything. 5 vs. 5 weight classes, named on a social media video, but only the weight classes at the weekend. One heavyweight, one featherweight, one middleweight, one light heavyweight, and His Excellency Turki Alşaik also choosing heavyweight. Obviously, this is the undercard to Artur Beterbiev and Dmitry Bivol, which you could just go and watch on its own anyway, as the undisputed light heavyweight title. Let's go from the bottom up. Let me get your view first of all, by the way. How exciting is it and how innovative are the Saudi Arabians? How innovative is His Excellency Turki Alşaik to come up with this idea? And just, yes, they're working together,
but now they're working together and against each other, and there's points on the line, and there might be a second one at Wembley Stadium, all this kind of stuff. I think it's brilliant. I am sold on it.
Yeah, I came up with the idea a few years back, but nobody listened to me. But yeah, it's fantastic. It is. It's fantastic. It really. It's like the FA Cup draw, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly.
It's unbelievable, yeah. And you can just you can just never end with this, because you can go this is going to be at the highest level. So you're going, as long as the fighters are of the same ability, are at the same level in their career. So you can't have a world level fighter box a British level fighter, of course. Or that would be totally unfair, just because you've got fighters at the weight. So they've got to make sure it's an even sort of a evenly made match. But you can do this forever. I mean, you can just have a domestic, or just have a below British level top five, a European level top five, and just a world level. And like, this one's going to be a world level top five, and this is unbelievable. And I can't wait to find out the names. We have an idea who it might be, but we're just not quite sure.
All right. Well, I'm going to go for my perfect picks. Okay. Featherweight, first of all, I would like to see Ray Ford. I'll do Warren's fighter first and then Eddie second. I'd love to see Nick Ball in a fight with Ray Ford. I think it's a great featherweight scrap.
Yeah, I think we're all gonna have the same picks here, so this might be a quicker section. But yeah, that's what I would go for. I think it's an absolutely great fight. Nick Ball, I thought Nick Ball won the world title in Saudi the other week.
How did he not win that world title, by the way? If he lost the first six rounds and he won the last six, which was pretty clear, of two halves and two heights, I was calling it, and he got two knockdowns. Like, he won 114, 112 clear for me.
It's madness. I thought it was an easy fight to score, which I don't see very often. And yeah, the knockdowns were the difference in the fight. That's all it was. Ray Vargas was fantastic at times, but
yeah,
Nick Ball just proved he was a different level, and the power made the difference in the fight, which so often it does. So I think he's there. Ray Ford have shown he's not just a fantastic boxer; he's as tough as they come. Absolute. Mm-hmm. The way he won his world title is how you want to win a world title. You don't want to be in a fight like that, but that for your memory. And for your legacy, if you want to call it, that's how you win a world title. He was absolutely fantastic. So those two, it's just a fantastic matchup.
Absolutely. Middleweight. I'm going Hamza Shiraz against Ammo Williams. And they've kind of put it out there. And again, Ammo Williams, rising star. Hamza Shiraz, rising star. They're both meeting quite early before they... I think both are nailed down to be world champions, in my view. Or will fight for world title belts. But what a scrap this is going to be. Both powerful, both with their own styles. Quite interesting.
Yeah, it is. I wasn't sold on Ammo Williams for a while, but recently he's brought me around. I think he's a really good operator. Because he's a little bit wild, he was at times, but Hamza Shiraz, even though he had a couple of hard fights, Bradley Skeet being one of them, of course, he's had a really good apprenticeship, I think, with his career. And now he's moved up in weight. He looks better, more powerful. I thought in Poland he was absolutely fantastic. He really was. Against Liam Williams, I think Liam Williams is not the fight he once was. So that was an easier fight, a good fight on paper, but an easier fight than it actually looked in the end. But I mean, the fight before that, he was awesome. He really was. I think this accurate power, just real class about his work, and he will go in a favourite, I think, against Ammo Williams. I really do. But it's a great fight. And Ammo Williams has that power and that tenacity to really put it on Hamza Shiraz.
I love you saying tenacity. Yes. What I do think is going to happen in this fight, Barry, before we just jump onto the light heavyweights, is Hamza Shiraz is going to be hit harder and more often than he's been hit in any fight so far. And for me, that's going to be the big test. I mean, he's a brilliant person. He's got a great team around him. His father's wonderful. You know that his father played cricket for Gloucestershire, was a fast bowler, and bowled out the West Indies one day, Brian Lara and a group of others, and has got his own history of going down the wrong tracks. And that's why he's always with his son, because he wants his son. I mean, he's a brilliant person, Hamza. What I've always said to Hamza, please work on your footwork and your angles, because he always reminds me, I mean, he's got incredible power, but he always reminds me of those Rock'em, Sock'em robots. Do you know what I mean?
I do, but I would also say that you've got to punch inside your body frame. So that what that means is you turn your shoulders and your hips into the punches. But doing that sometimes, so looking, punching straight down the line all the time, when you're a tall fighter, is probably better than trying to get more angles, because you start getting angles, you start leaning your body close to the target, giving the other fighter an opportunity to hit you back. So we're talking about he's going to be hit hard and he's never been hit before. Ammo might not be able to get to him because she has hits, and he hits from range. He gets that uppercut nice and long. He throws that right long hand. He's got to get past that as well. So he's going to have to take a leap of faith. Literally, he might have to leap into the target, and there might be a fraught. That's all. For Williams getting to the target, fraught with danger there. There's two, three, four shots that he might have to evade or walk through before he lands.
Yeah, listen, I'm not saying I don't. I love Hamza's high guard. It's always there. He's a great guy anyway.
I see what you're saying. More variety to his work. Yeah, makes sense.
Light heavyweight. My dream fight is Anthony Yard against either Callum Smith or Craig Richards. Eddie Hearn's kind of thrown Craig Richards out there into the ether as someone he'd like to be on that card. He's even said it to me a couple of times. Anthony Yard, Craig Richards, Anthony Yard, Callum Smith. But obviously, they're trying to do Anthony Yard and Joshua Boazzi for the UK this summer as well. But any one of those I like. That IFL TV have thrown out Craig Richards and Willie Hutchinson, by the way. Willie's obviously won last Friday in at the York Hall. Love Willie. Crazy character. But who have you got?
I would rather Yard versus Callum Smith. I really do. I think that's
now or never as well for that fight. Yeah,
and I want to see Yad Boazzi, but I mean, you can't. You know, the money for that fight in Saudi will be too much to turn down. And Smith is a really, Smith's a fantastic fighter. I think a light heavyweight as well, and I think he's shown loads of strength. Okay, he's better Biev, but that's better Biev. So but I mean, that's a really good fight, and also for Anthony Yad, as good as he is, and I think he's been fantastic. He hasn't got that signature win. He hasn't. And let's be honest. It's amazing to say, because he might be our best light heavyweight in the country, but he hasn't got a signature win.
Absolutely.
We rate him off his tremendous performances in defeat, which is a novelty in itself, but a danger as well about that. It's about, can he get over the line? There's always those little questions. I think he can. And I think it might be right for him right now to box a Callum Smith. But Callum Smith is technically very good, has power, and and he's been in boxing all his life, so he never panics under pressure. Even if he does get beat, he never panics. So with the ad's power, part of that is he hits you anywhere, and he makes you rush your work because you worry about not taking another shot. Smith.
Yeah, well, Yard came to the sport late, didn't he? I don't know if you know this, but Tessa Sanderson picked him up when he was younger as a javelin thrower.
And yeah, picked him up and threw him.
Yeah. But when she picked him up as the right physique for, I mean, the guy's an Adonis physically. I mean, he's just unbelievable, and a beautiful human being as well, who has come from a very, very tough background.
Real good role model, Gareth. That's what he is.
Yeah, absolutely. No, you can't not love the guy, frankly. And I just think whatever happens with Anthony Yard, he's always going to be remembered by the fans. Certainly those two fights with Kovalev and Beterbiev anyway, keep him in the standing, in the minds of fans. But like you say, be great to see him on there. Two heavyweight fights. Neither of these have been confirmed, although the fight between Deontay Wilder and Zhili Zhang has been put out there by some people, but denied by Frank Warren and Eddie Hearn, by the way, and myself, because I'd heard other things in the background. I don't know, but in mind of minds, in the dreamscape, I'd love to see Deontay Wilder and Zhili Zhang. Let's go, bang, guys. And I think if that fight happens, I think Zhili Zhang knocks Wilder out, unless he gets knocked out by Wilder.
I don't want to see it. I think it's an awful fight to watch.
Really?
I think someone will get knocked out. But and I think it might be Wilder because I think he's lost his edge. But I think it'd be a real scrappy, audible fight. Like, Zhang can be a real danger, but again, against Parker, though Parker was brilliant, he didn't throw any punches. But every time he throws a punch, he's fantastic. But he wants to throw four punches a round. That's not good to watch for anybody. And Wilder is awful to watch until he lands with a big shot. And he always has been. But he's been good to watch because he puts you to sleep. But like, actually, we watch most of his fights, all of his fights, actually, up until the point that he puts you to sleep. It's horrible to watch. It's not even boxing half the time. He's just a guy who's massively athletic with crazy power. He hasn't learned the fundamentals. And he's gone away from the people who were teaching him the fundamentals, I feel. So that's not a great fight for me to watch, but it'll be this. We'll remember the finish, and the finish will be fantastic. So that's all that matters. But the other heavyweight fight, no, Danny Dubois versus Filip Hrgović, that's a...
Oh, fight. If that comes off, that's a great fight as well.
Brilliant fight.
And, yeah, it is.
And a fight I never thought I'd mention. I thought Hrgović was on a trajectory that Dubois wasn't going to get to. But Dubois has reinvented himself, I think. And in two fights, one in defeat, admittedly, but he put up a really good fight. But
he did. Gave Usyk a lot of problems.
He did. You know, I don't think Usyk was in any danger of ever getting beat. Forget about this. Let's not talk about the low blow debate, because it wasn't. But
I think it was. I think it was borderline. I think it was.
It was a low blow. I'm sorry. I got my words wrong. It was clearly a low blow, I should say. I'm sorry about that.
But he milked it.
You would milk it. But I mean, who cares about that? Let's not get into that. But I mean, against Gerald Miller, he was fantastic.
Yeah.
He boxed the right fight for that. Yeah. But now we can see him, if he can do that, coming in with full of confidence, if he can do that against a live opponent, a real live opponent, in Filip Hrgović, who didn't look great in his last fight, I didn't think either, really. Or the fight before, I should say. Didn't look fantastic. The last fight, he had a gimme, didn't he?
Against Mark Tomori, yeah.
Yeah, but the fight before that, he didn't look great. He looked lackluster, I thought.
Against Zhang, you mean? Oh, no, it was after Zhang. I've had him losing to Zhang, by the way, around.
Dempsey McKean, didn't he?
Dempsey McKean. He looked a bit slothful on that night. He didn't go through the gears. But he could be the guy. He could be the guy outside the top three or four. He could be the guy, couldn't he?
If you're ticking boxes about what you need for a world-class heavyweight, he ticks most of them.
Yeah.
Big, powerful, good jab, good feet, good, takes a shot. He ticks all those boxes, but he can be quite lackluster. And Dubois now is boxing with a different mindset, I feel. It doesn't matter that division's changed, because we're not JoJo's don't know on nobody's lips anymore, and Daniel Dubois is. It don't seem that long ago that he made Dubois quit. It's just the crazy that heavyweight division is just madness. It's literally like a barren land of boxing. Anything goes, and anything can change with one punch. It's madness.
Absolutely. Well, at the moment, I mean, the great thing is, none of those fights are confirmed, by the way. We're just talking about dream fights, and hopefully they all come off, or that we might even get better than that, than we've just put out there. The great thing at the moment, Barry, is, like you say about the heavyweight division, I know my top... I mean, obviously, we work in the sport, but I know my top 16 in the world now, and I'm playing with it on a daily basis. I know it in my head. There's not a day goes by when I don't talk to someone in the street or in the industry about heavyweight boxing. And literally, it's fascinating, like you say, to go from Fury, Usyk, Joshua, Parker, Zhang, Hrgović, Wilder, Bokoli, Dubois. You can even throw Chisora in there. Ngannou, Frank Sanchez, Makhmudov. I've lost a couple there, but
Jared Anderson.
There's 13, 14. I mean, it's an amazing... Agit Kabayel. There's an amazing division there at the moment. And like you say, you could literally pick balls out of a hat and create a tournament at the moment, say outside the top four, and you go, so-and-so fights so-and-so. You could do it with 12 balls, couldn't you, with their names on and their numbers on, and you're going to get great fights. And all it took was intervention, investment, interest, because most of these guys are late 20s, early 30s to mid 30s, and it just needed the catalysm of movement and investment. And we've got a great end to an era in the next 3 or 4 years.
But also, all these heavyweights, all these fighters, especially at the world level, should take a leaf out of Joseph Parker's book and Anthony Joshua's book. Fight often.
Yeah.
Fight often.
Parker, 5 fights in 13, 14 months. Joshua, 4 fights in 11 months, Joshua. And 5 fights for Parker in, what is it, 13 to 15 months.
I've got to think, more fights, less camps.
Yeah, yeah.
You always stay in the gym. You're a professional athlete. Stay. You aren't going to be training like a lunatic all the time. Stay in the gym all the time. You're having less camps, more fights, more money. Everyone loves you for it.
That's why I love working with you. The perfect segue into the final segment today. You're listening to Fight Night Extra on TalkSport 2. Next up, is AJ heading back into another fight, into camp? Who's he fighting next? You're listening to Fight Night Extra on TalkSport 2 with me, Gareth Davis, and the one and only former world champion, Barry Jones. Now, Barry, Anthony Joshua. I'm looking at the tweet or the social media post right now. Incoming call from 258 Management. Hustle, it says on the back of his T-shirt. Picture of AJ with the big dukes up. He's on the phone. AJ, how can I help you? 258 Management, they want you to fight Kiss. It's all right. AJ, I will get ready. AJ BXNG. You said it in the last section, and this is the kind of momentum that will take you to the summit of the division, isn't it?
It is. And you know, like, I don't know what it is, but I wouldn't be shocked if it's June the 1st against Joseph Parker. I wouldn't be shocked. I don't know. And this is my own head. I haven't heard anything, no rumors. I never hear any rumors. I keep myself to myself. But I mean, I wouldn't be shocked. Because again, what did he do a couple of weeks ago? Threw 12 punches, knocked the guy out. You know, like, you've had the camp for that. I meant less, more fights, less camps. So he's already fit. Yeah, I'm going to go through that rigor of, again, really fit again. No, you just got to taper down, make sure he's loose and get a little bit fitter again. But you got more technical stuff to do now. And Joseph Parker, no, that was it wasn't a grueling fight for him. But he had to go more rounds, of course. But I think if he's injury free, that's the end of the match. You've got April, May. You've got April, May to get ready. That's fine. I think it is fine. I think that's enough. That's enough time to get ready. Let's go back to the 70s, 60s, 70s, 80s, even 90s when I was boxing. That's no, someone gives you too much notice, you're laughing. You're thinking, what am I gonna do with the other 3 weeks? And I can mess around for 3 weeks, then I can get ready. I think there's time for him. So I wouldn't be shocked if he ends up being on that bill or the top of the bill. If he is, that's the biggest bill they've done to date. I think that would be. If he's on that, better be on that and everything else.
I said it in the last section. You could literally throw the balls in the air. And come up with anyone outside Fury and Usyk, and maybe if Dubois and Hergovic are taken up, you could literally put him in against any of those guys, and you'd expect him at the moment. Maybe Frank Sanchez might be a little bit of a difficult opponent.
What about Martin Bacoli?
Yeah,
the brilliant win in Saudi, didn't he? No, in October, no, he looked fantastic, and he's a massive giant.
Yeah.
Technically very good, you know, and Joshua's full of confidence now, you know, and the money's there, like, you know, that's the big incentive for him, the money, and so it's there for him to take, and like, you know, every fight's fraught with danger in that division, so you might as well just take any fight you're given.
Yeah, I agree with you as well that over the last 5 months, the real guys to benefit are Parker and Joseph Parker and Anthony Joshua. If you recall when Parker and Joshua fought the first time as well, we didn't get a great fight because the referee from Italy, Guardazzoni, actually told them off for punching at times. Do you remember?
Yeah, I do.
Close quarters. It was very, very, one of the worst performances I've ever seen, if I'm being honest, from a referee where he didn't. Yeah. I remember when they both went down on their haunches when they, by about round 10 or 11, he let them actually exchange a couple of times and they both felt each other's power. But it was a weird fight. Again, Joshua did well in that contest and Joseph was a bit one-paced.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. We have a different Joseph Parker now. We have a Joseph Parker with more, even though he was world champion back then, he lost his title to Anthony Joshua that night. But he's a different fight now. I think he's a fight with more confidence, more strength, and he's matured. Let's not forget that. No, he was a baby back then. He's a grown man, you know, and he's full of strength. He knows what he's good at. He believes he can do stuff. And it's a and Joshua, you know, has gone through a roller coaster of emotions to get to where he is now, but he's as close as we've seen to him being back to where we thought he was, you know, back then to now. So I mean, it's a better and a harder fight, I felt, for Joshua.
Well, he's got a great team now that believes in him, and he believes in them, and they're very good at strategy. I think Lee Wiley and Ben Davis, and they analyze a lot. They clearly said, as soon as Ngannou turns southpaw, get that right hand into effect, which was the mistake that Ngannou made. He took literally no damage. Just final thing on that, the public perception of him has changed, which is brilliant. I call him Mark III now. George Foreman always said to me, I interviewed him a couple of times about Anthony Joshua, and he said, he just needs to know what he is. It's as simple as that, and just be that. And if he finishes his career with 35-5, then so be it. I mean, he's incredibly successful. He's an extraordinary athlete. I mean, physically, when you stand next to him, I saw you out in Saudi working with him. I mean, you know, I mean, he is a giant, Barry. He is genuinely a giant.
I make everyone look big, to be fair. But yeah, he is. He is a big
You'd
guy.
Have destroyed his midriff anyway. You'd have destroyed his midriff. That perception change, what I was going to ask was, does he stay fighting in Saudi Arabia, or is it time to have a fight back in the UK as well? Or is he earning too much money out there to give that up?
Yeah, you go where the money is. Fighters always have. Just a quick note on that. Like we all want the fights in the UK, but the boxing fan of the last 15 years have been spoiled. Or 10 years definitely have been spoiled, because most of the big fights we've had have been in the UK. But when I was growing up, even when I was boxing, all the big fights, the huge fights, went to America, because that's where the money was. Mm. I mean, Joshua is a big part of it, brought the stadium fights, made stadium fights normal in the UK, with others as well, but he was the one really made it a steadfast. But those are the massive domestic clashes, even at world level, come stay in the UK. But ultimately, once the fighter got really good, he had to go to America to make his money. But it was the same for like a Welsh fight. I had to go to London. A fight from North had to go to London. London was the base. Then Manchester for a while. It's always somewhere where you have to go for the money. Usually you have to travel. Now it's just Saudi Arabia. It's just a new place. Riyadh. Yeah. It's just the new Vegas, the new New York. It's just that. And it might be forever. It might be for a little while. It might be somewhere else. And fights will happen in the UK. We'll have big fights there. It's just everyone's been spoiled. And that's all. Which was great for boxing. And we need it. We need big fights in British boxing to keep, because if you can't go to watch a fight, going to watch a fight live as a kid is what made me, I fell in love with Barry McGuigan watching him on TV, but going to watch a live show,
it's amazing, yeah.
Yeah, but still, no, we'll still have big fights over here, with maybe September. Of course, there's a rumour about there being a big fight in Wembley in September. But either way, he goes where the money is. He knows where, and he knows who he is, not just in the ring, outside of the ring now, Gareth. He's comfortable in his own skin for the first time for a long time, and that's a good and a good healthy place to be.
Absolutely. Well, we've had 8 stadium fights, I've just counted in my head, since 2014. Froch and Groves, 5 Joshua, 2 Tyson Fury fight. And I'm talking Spurs, Cardiff, or Wembley, the biggest stadiums in the UK. I mean, come on, 8 of those in the last decade. It's kind of amazing. One of them on December the 3rd, by the way, when Fury fought Derek Chisora at Spurs. There were still 70,000 people there. We are in a halcyon period for the sport. It's always my pleasure to be joined by Barry Jones here on Fight Night Extra. We'll be back next week, but don't miss all the action at the weekend. We've got Fight Night Live on Saturday night, but we've also got the live event, Fraser Clark, Fabio Wardley. My thanks to Barry Jones. We'll see you next time.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.